It's the end of an era that puts thousands of well-paid manufacturing jobs at risk. Bombardier's decision to put its Northern Ireland factories up for sale is a huge blow to the workforce and the wider economy here. Or is it? This uncertainty, what does it actually mean? Well, the BBC's business and economics editor, John Campbell, in the studio with us this morning to tell us.
Good morning. Good
morning, John. Could the uncertainty possibly lead to no change, or is this bad news?
Certainly when I was talking to the trade unions yesterday, they were reasonably upbeat about this. And also when I was down at the Bombardier plant in East Belfast yesterday, as people were coming out for their lunch, they looked pretty relaxed, smiling. Other times I've been down there when there's been jobs announcement and everybody's been coming out looking pretty miserable, because I think the feeling certainly among the union was, listen, we've been through a long period here of just endless job losses. There was a chance the entire Bombardier business could have gone bust a few years ago. So if we're going to be in a position where we have a new owner who is actually focused on the long term and focused on investment, that might actually end up being a good thing. But like you say, there is this uncertainty about who might actually buy it and what their intentions would be. But the overall vibe I got yesterday was not one of great fear. It was one of actually quite a lot of hope.
And yet, with change, with the new owner, they may try to cut costs. That's what lots of new owners try to do.
Absolutely,
efficiency,
yeah.
Savings.
Yeah.
And one way you cut costs is to cut jobs.
Yeah, although if you look at what's been happening at the Bombardier plant, where they've gone from, I think, around 7,500 jobs 3 or 4 years ago to about 3,500 jobs now, it's already become a much, much leaner operation in recent years. But yeah, you're right. Depending on who would take it over, one of the first things they'll do is what they often call is look for synergies, i.e. places where they can remove replication and in order to save money. And it also depends on the type of buyer you get. Do you get what's called a trade buyer? So that's an existing company in that sector. Or would you get a financial buyer, like a big a private equity buyout fund, somebody like that? And they'd be more likely the sort of company which would be in looking for cost cuts.
Why is Bombardier getting out?
This has been...
Is it profitable?
So far as we're aware, the Belfast operation is profitable, but you've got to look at what's been happening strategically in Bombardier over the last couple of years. So Bombardier were developing their new plane, the C-Series jetliner, which was intended to take on Boeing and Airbus. It's a really good plane, but it cost an absolute fortune to develop, ran way over time, way over budget, almost sank the company. And what Bombardier have been doing over the last few years is trying to recover from that. So the first thing they did was sell off the C-Series program to Airbus, so it's now called the A220. They've also sold off their turboprop business. Those planes sometimes see out the city airport that Flybe operate. So that business has now been sold to a Canadian company. So they've been shrinking and reshaping their aerospace business in order to cut costs. And really what they announced yesterday was to say, we are just in the future only going to focus on our business jets, our private jets, and for that reason we don't need the Belfast operation or its sister plant in Morocco. We're just going to focus all our manufacturing in Canada and in Mexico. So although what we got yesterday was maybe a bit of a shock in terms of the timing and the lack of advance notice, it's really not surprising when you look at what Bombardier's strategy has been over the last few years.
Now, obviously people aren't going to decide their whole Brexit policy based on jobs in Bombardier or the security of the operation in Bombardier. Yeah. But here's my question, John. There was a stage at which we were talking about the possibilities under Theresa May's proposed deal for Northern Ireland to have the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
In the Theresa May scenario, which the likes of the DUP have so fundamentally objected to because it differentiates Northern Ireland from the rest of the UK, but in that scenario, if Theresa May's deal got through, would that make a potential buyer for Bombardier more likely because they've got this opportunity to trade anywhere?
Well, there's a bit of unpacking to be done there. So, first of all, under the Theresa May deal, if you like, the best of both worlds scenario for Northern Ireland is if the border can't be kept frictionless through the wider deal and the backstop has to apply. And we know many unionists don't like the backstop because they say it cuts Northern Ireland off from the rest of the UK. And in that situation, companies operating in Northern Ireland would basically have unfettered access to both the UK market and to the wider EU.
Quite attractive to a potential buyer, right?
Which manufacturers see as quite attractive. However, thing is that the backstop was only ever intended to be a temporary arrangement. The EU say that, the UK government say that, it's understood the backstop would only apply on a temporary basis until something more long-term could be worked out. Aerospace is a business which works over quite long time horizons. You know, it takes maybe 10 or 15 years to develop a new plane, for example. So I don't think that you're going to make an investment decision based on what everybody is telling you is a temporary state of affairs.
But you might not make an investment decision until you know what way back Brexit's going to go.
I think that's a kind of more salient point. And it's one, certainly, we heard a professor of business from Sussex University who specialises in aerospace was on Good Morning Ulster this morning, Professor Stephen Maguire. And he was just making the point that while you have Brexit-related uncertainty, if you don't know what the UK's trading relationship with the EU or indeed the rest of the world is going to be, that perhaps makes the sale of the Bombardier plant in Belfast that little bit more difficult. But I still think there will be interested buyers, but certainly it's a complicating factor, and it will depend on the risk appetite, if you like, of those buyers, if they look at the whole Brexit situation and think, is that too much of a risk or not for us to be getting into the UK?
George Burnside is a Bombardier employee. Morning to you, George.
How's it been?
Morning to you. How do you feel about this?
More or less what John's saying. It could be an opportunity for this company to move forward. You know, we're with a company at the moment. It's near enough $10 billion in debt. You know, Short has been around a long, long time before Bombardier was. You know, so as a trade union and from the employees' perspective, we might see this as an opportunity to move forward. But then again, it depends on who the potential buyer would be.
So are you worried?
Yeah, there is worrying capitation on the shop floor. You know, I know John mentioned about there, you know, companies coming in. But our main fear, you know, when a company comes in, you know, you mentioned about job losses. Our consideration would be, yes, job losses, but also the terms and conditions that we currently enjoy at the moment here. And Bombardier, a lot of these companies come in and the first thing they look at is a pension scheme, which we have an attractive pension scheme. There's only 2 or 3% of them left in the UK in manufacturing, which is a final salary scheme. You have holidays.
You're on a final salary scheme?
You are indeed, yeah.
There are a few of those around these days, aren't there?
Well, you're probably on one yourself, Stephen. So,
no, I'm not.
Well, I'm sure that would make a change, you know.
Yeah.
Seriously, though,
George, that's a big, big incentive, isn't it, to stay within that firm? Those final salary pension schemes, and John Campbell probably knows more about this than I do, but those are like hen's teeth these days.
Rare, yeah. The BBC got rid of theirs a few years ago, and you know, a whole lot of major companies have been in a process of basically winding down their final salary pension schemes, not allowing new employees to join them, for example. So I think that is a reasonable fear that George raises about any new potential owner, how they would look upon that, for example.
I think Brian in Belfast. Morning to you, Brian.
Hello.
I think you've got a similar question about pensions, right?
Yes, I'm a past employee of Short Bombardier, and I worked there for 19 and a half years. And I was just wondering, as soon as I heard this yesterday, is my pension safe what I've paid into?
My understanding would be if you are somebody who's been through that process and you have your pension, then it should be safe. The only scenarios in which, you know, you have difficulties with pensions is if a company goes bust, says it can't afford its liabilities, and then there's the government kind of pensions lifeboat. But that's certainly not something we're talking about in this scenario. It's more likely, I think, as George was raising, an issue for current and future employees, because you know, any buyer would look at the company and say, well, a final salary pension scheme is quite an expensive thing for a business.
Brian, thank you. George, to come back to you, how did you find out about this? I believe not in the right way, in your view.
Yeah, could I just come back onto the pension scheme? We did make two changes in the last 7 years to our pension scheme to try to, you know, to cut costs and everything else, and they did close it down to new members. And they moved into the DC scheme about a year and a half ago. So I just want to make that clear.
Sure. Okay.
But there's still a final salary scheme there. Yeah, yes, Stephen, just to come back to what was yesterday, and Bombardier seemed to be the masters of the media, the way they announced stuff. We did know they spoke to the politicians first, and I spoke to Greg Clark, and then I spoke to our local politicians. We were called the Garza Trade Union at 11:15 yesterday. We were being briefed. Now, the rumours were rife all weekend, say the company, what potentially, you know, it's being put up for sale. All the rumours were there. But there was a media brief then at 11 o'clock, and they released all to the media at 11 o'clock. But they weren't telling the employees to 11:30, in some cases it was 12 o'clock.
So how did you find out?
The first real news that we knew something happened was actually on your show. I think John Campbell broke in about 10:25.
He did, aye.
There would be a major announcement in shorts. And all of a sudden, telephones started going off all over this company. What's going on here? Here we go again. We're going through social media, through the news media. We're hearing again, you know. And it doesn't show any respect, not only to the employees, to every employee in this, and that includes managers and all. This wasn't a deal that was done overnight. This deal was done probably over in an 18 months to a year, what they were discussing. And at no time did they give us in England what was going to take place. And you know, like I said, we met senior management right up to Christmas from Montreal, and that the latest CEO was Paul Sissian. And they told us Belfast, brilliant, work, it looks good, everything else. And they asked us to be open and transparent and work with them. And as I said, Bombardier weren't an honest broker in this one. We were the ones who was honest and transparent and open. And we just feel that at this point, the way it was briefed out to the media and the way it was done, it was odd.
You're finding out on the radio that something's happening, and you've been in that company a long time.
I'm here 29 years now. Even, you know, when I, you know, I'm coming probably towards the last 40 years in this company and everything else, but it's a future that all of us in here, what our grandchildren are going to get, you know, where they go.
George, thank you. Morning. Michael and Finnegy. Morning, Michael.
Hello, Stephen. I think the big point here is the DUP's Brexit strategy. And it has made it clear and clear for companies in the middle of all this query and wonder what is going to happen to Northern Ireland's economic position as regards in the EC, out of the EC. Just some companies, they can't wait any longer. It's too frightening. And if they've got a plan B that's a good one, they'll just say, forget about it anyway. Let's move to the plan B. So we dearly need to sort out where Northern Ireland stands in a positive strategic economic position.
Well, the UK needs to sort out where it stands, doesn't it? The UK hasn't, to be fair to the DUP, you can't load the whole Brexit conundrum onto the DUP. Parliament can't work it out.
No, you can't, but I think if the DUP had been in line with some of the other parties here, we'd have had a stronger position, and we could have argued for the best of both worlds, which was in the UK and in the EEC. You couldn't have got a better bargaining position, but that's all gone, and now there's thousands of jobs at stake, and still we're in wonderland.
Well, I'm in wonderland this morning, because I'm wondering what the politicians are doing about this, what they're saying about it, what they're doing about it. Can they do anything about it? Can they can they try to find any reassurance for workers? They all met Bombardier yesterday. What has been said to them? I see Naomi Long is joining us this morning. Morning to you, Naomi.
Good morning.
Obviously,
Stephen.
Leader of the Alliance Party. Well, what was said to you by Bombardier? Did they give you reassurance that there would be no job cuts?
Well, we didn't meet them yesterday. They wrote to us yesterday and offered a meeting. I've responded to that. And said
I thought,
that
sorry to interrupt, Naomi, but John, I thought you said they were going to meet the political leaders, no?
I think.
They'd
offered meetings, and they were also asking for phone calls with some of the senior people. I understand that that's what might have ended up in the end was phone calls rather than actual face to face meetings yesterday.
Naomi?
Yeah, well, we got a letter along with a detailed statement from them, and I went straight back, gave them my mobile number, said that we would be available at their earliest convenience, and I'm just waiting now to hear back from that, because obviously we're concerned about the workers, we're concerned about the future of the plant, and it is a very unsettling time for the staff. I mean, this is not necessarily completely unexpected. There have obviously been issues, particularly since the legal challenge with Boeing and the fact that the C-Series is now essentially passed into Airbus management, that this is not a completely unexpected development, though I don't think sale of the plant was really anything that we had certainly had any indications from. We met with Bombardier just a number of weeks ago, and there was no mention of sale of the plant. It's obviously part of the wider reorganisation that they're doing company-wide. So it's including places like Morocco as well. This is a complete restructuring, and I think that the Boeing challenge has clearly damaged them financially, and that they now want to exit that aerospace business. The challenge now for us is to find a buyer for Bombardier in Belfast, but someone who is committed to continuing with the manufacturing that they're involved in, rather than somebody who is coming in to buy the company to asset strip it. Now, that's the challenge, and to do that in the current context will not be easy, but the company is in a much better position in Belfast than it would have been had an announcement like this come 3 or 4 years ago, because it has a really full order book. It's doing a lot of external work beyond the Bombardier main kind of core work. So the hope would be that we're able to find somebody who can come in and do that. And obviously my intention is to ask the government, given that we don't have an assembly here, to try to assist the company in finding a buyer who is actually committed to continuing with manufacturing.
How attractive, John Campbell, is the business in Northern Ireland? Like, that's part of the business.
Yeah, well, if you think about what Bombardier actually does, so it's not making finished aeroplanes, it's not a final assembly plant. It's effectively making parts for both Bombardier and also for Airbus, notably the wings for the Airbus A220. So if you're a big global manufacturing company and you want to get into the Airbus supply chain, then certainly it's an attractive prospect. For example, you might look at a big US engineering company called Spirit AeroSystems, who have a plant in Scotland. They make stuff mostly for Boeing, though they would like to diversify and to supply other people.
How do you know all this stuff?
That's what I'm supposed to do in my job. So Spirit AeroSystems, they might be interested in in that, for example. There's another company called GKN in
here
England.
Here we go.
GKN in England. They already work very closely with Bombardier. They may have some interest, although their owners recently spent a lot of money, so they might not be able to afford it. And there's also an outside chance of the Chinese state aviation company could be interested. They are a growing business. They already own a aircraft seat factory in Portadown, which is expanding very rapidly. So they could potentially see an opportunity there. Although Airbus, who are going to be vital in deciding who does this deal, they might not be so keen having the Chinese state aviation company being effectively involved in one of their businesses.
Naomi, do questions need to be asked? And again, maybe John can help us with some of the detail behind this if he knows. But I'm wondering, and I haven't looked yet, and it's an open question, I simply don't know. But I do know that InvestNI have pumped quite a lot of money into this operation over recent years. They were offered 13-odd million, John, right, over the last 5 years.
The actual wing plant in East Belfast, where they make the wings for the A220, was the C-Series. I think that was one of the biggest ever InvestNI UK government granting projects for a foreign direct investment project. So yes, they've been one of the major recipients of InvestNI grants over a very long time period. There's no doubt about that.
Are we going to get any of that money back?
Well, I suppose why would we? Because that money
is... Because they're pulling out.
Well, yeah, but the jobs are staying. So that money is based on... Whenever you get...
Well, just say the jobs don't stay.
Yeah, then you're in a different situation. Whenever you're in a grant situation with InvestNI, you can only draw that grant down if you reach certain targets. So if you say you're going to create 100 jobs, then as you create those jobs, you get the grants. If there's an R&D project, you have to show that you're doing the R&D, and then the money is released. So long as the company is doing what it says it's going to do, the question of ownership shouldn't really arise.
Naomi?
Well, I think that's the key issue here, that the money, a lot of the money that was invested was in the technology. I mean, I don't know if you've ever been down in Bombardier, Stephen.
I have not.
Well, it is an incredible experience. I mean, people think about manufacturing and they kind of think of a kind of really dirty environment and, you know, people with spanners. This is top of the range, high tech stuff. You know, I mean, you have to wear special suits to go in because it's all kind of climate controlled and everything else.
Yeah, it's kind of like they almost like print the wing.
It's incredible. It literally, you've got to see it to believe it. It is really high technology, and a lot of that investment was as a result of what Invest NI was able to do along with Bombardier. That all stays as part of the package. So it's not going anywhere. It's not like somebody's been given this stuff and they're going to take it away from us. It's still going to be down there. The question that we want reassurance about is that there's somebody going to come in who really wants to stay long-term in this kind of high-tech manufacturing. Because the other, I suppose the other concern is that, yes, the number of jobs on the site has fallen over a number of years because of restructuring and everything else that's been going on. But it's not just about the immediate jobs in Bombardier that we would be concerned. It's about the wider issue of the supply chains right across Northern Ireland, where people's jobs are reliant on Bombardier, which is a much bigger group of people. So we need to make sure that whoever buys this is going to be somebody who's genuinely invested in continuing the manufacturing process. And the fact that they have such a modern, such an efficient plant is actually in many ways a reason why somebody like that would want to buy it. If it was a plant that needed a lot of investment, if it wasn't the kind of cutting edge operation that it is, it might be a less attractive prospect. So, I mean, yes, we are concerned, Stephen. We're worried because it's uncertain for the staff and their families, and nobody wants that kind of uncertainty. We're also concerned because at this point in time, trying to do a sale of a major manufacturing operation in Northern Ireland with all of the other chaos that is going on at the moment makes it, I think, a little more difficult than it needs to be. But on the plus side, the actual operation is financially in better strength and health than it was a number of years ago, and the plant is really world class. So from that perspective, it could be a reasonably attractive prospect. The big question is, in terms of aviation, is there the money out there to invest? Because as you saw with the Boeing spat with Bombardier, and then you had kind of Airbus entering into that, it is a highly competitive market, and there's not always a huge amount of money for brand new investment from other companies. Okay. So we just have to find a buyer who really wants to keep the manufacturing end going.
Naomi, thank you. Davy Thompson is the from the Union Unite, he's the union leader. Morning to you, Davy. Is this a moment for opportunity for things to get even better, or are you worried?
It'll go one of two ways. It's either a catastrophe, not just for Bombardier and workers within Bombardier today, or it's a real opportunity to grow, invest, and actually expand what we have in Northern Ireland. This is a global business. It's one of the main pillars within the global business of Bombardier within Belfast. And it's second to none within the world, the workforce, the skills, the technologies. You just can't get that sort of impact anywhere else in terms of getting jobs and getting people out there, getting the work done. You know, it's a design, it's a test, it's a manufacture, it's an aftersale. So it's a really start to finish of the aerostructures business that's sitting in Belfast on a world-class basis.
And, you know, some workers clearly are concerned about how they found out about this yesterday. Some people telling us they found out from John coming on to the Nolan Show and breaking the story.
Yeah, well, we understand, going back to past, this is no defence. We get this in redundancies. We get it in any situation we've had in Bombardier. We get this where it breaks earlier because departments have to be contacted, this one has to be contacted. And those things start to break out. There's no doubt about that. But there needs to be, there's enough management down there to go and speak to who they need to speak to. There's enough people to do the paperwork with the stuff, and they need to be speaking to the workforce and the trade unions at exactly the same time as everybody else.
Is your message, Davey, one of reassurance to your workers today?
Look, it's going to be an anxious time. There's absolutely no doubt there's going to be an anxious time. The way the paperwork came out yesterday, the way it's written up, is Bombardier's, this would still be part of our supply chain. So there's an order book there that's strong, which will be attractive to the outside companies. So it's not so much of a reassurance, but it's not a final nail in the coffin type situations as we expected 3 to 4 years ago when we were standing with probably about 10 minutes for a decision to come through as to whether it would be staying open or not. As a global company, the whole of Bombardier was about to collapse at that stage. So whilst we're still there, whilst we're still fighting, whilst we have the capabilities to create what we create in terms of Northern Ireland and Belfast, then I believe there's an opportunity to grow. But that will only work if we have the right investor that comes in. If we get someone coming in like a vulture and breaking up the company into here's a part for Airbus, here's a part for design, that will destroy it. That will absolutely destroy it. Government needs to be central to it. Stormont needs to be up and running and working with government and others to actually do that. That needs to be done, and it needs to be done quickly.
Divi, thank you. Let's get reaction before we go to the news this morning from the Ulster Unionist Party and indeed the SDLP. Steve Aiken, morning to you, Steve.
Morning, Stephen.
Morning, Steve. And Brian. Morning, Brian Heading. Morning.
Morning, Steve.
Good morning to you. Steve, let's start with you. What needs to be done now? What do we need to find out now?
Well, what we need, first of all, we need to find out what the company's prospectus is and what it's planning to do. Because the situation here, and you know, we only found out about it yesterday, and thanks to Davey and everybody in Unite, because that was the first call I actually made. And then I made a call to some senior management in Bombardier to actually find out what was going on. The situation is quite clear. In fact, that Bombardier is not doing well. It's having lots of difficulties with other parts of its manufacturing business, particularly in its rail industry. And it's actually having to share some of its areas. And the fact is, and as Davey's quite rightly pointed out, the aerostructures division's got a full order book. And the other thing that Northern Ireland has, and this is the thing that's actually essential as we keep, the intellectual property and the investment are world-leading. And there's the aerospace industry as a whole is having difficulty in meeting capacity. Belfast has the opportunity to grow and expand. And actually, in some ways, if it was part of another aerospace group, the chances are that it might be able to grow and expand because there is a lack of capacity in the overall aerospace industry at the moment to meet the growing demand. You know, and I know that's not necessarily reassuring to workers at the moment who don't know what's happening, but the thing that we need to do, particularly as politicians, is to make sure that the Northern Ireland specific parts of it, the aerostructures, the old shorts piece, remains. And we need to make sure, particularly the investment that we have made, particularly for the IP from Invest Northern Ireland and all the rest of it, stays in Northern Ireland because of these are unique capabilities. And these unique capabilities are not just the machinery, Stephen, it's the people. And our workforce is probably some of the most skilled in the world in working in aerostructures. And by just having sort of a short rebuilt around that area, because it's the feeder that comes off from that, the feeder that goes to the other aerostructures and the other people based in the aerospace business in Northern Ireland, aerospace should be a key cluster to the growth of Northern Ireland for its manufacturing strategy, if we had one.
Okay.
And that's one of the things we'll be really asking for to do it. But I'd just like to thank, you know, Davey for all the work he's been doing with us and the rest of it. But I'm really concerned for the workers. But I think there is opportunity here, and I hope we're going to be able to make it.
We did speak to offer the DUP and Sinn Féin an opportunity to come onto the programme. Now that the two of them have got back to want to come on, but all of the other political parties are coming on and want to reach out to the workers and say to them that they understand how concerning this is, as you will be doing, no doubt, Brian.
Yeah, I've been in touch with the party spokesperson, and I've suggested to him that he arranges a meeting with the Bombardier management. I think the workforce need to ensure that they get all the information about the likely sell-off. And also, in terms of the local economy here, we need to know is there any risk to the overall workforce and to the supply chain going into Bombardier? So those will be two questions that we'll be looking to put to the management of Bombardier.
And, Brian, are you hopeful? Are you optimistic?
I think we have no choice other than to be hopeful. I mean, I'm a bit suspicious about why the announcement was made when it was made, because obviously this has been a decision that's been in the Bombardier pipeline for some time. This wasn't a decision that was taken on Monday or Tuesday. I'm sure the trade union is frustrated about the way the announcement was made. But you know, we are where we are. They are going to sell it off. I want to know who it's going to be sold off to. We want to then make sure that the jobs are secure, as has been said by other commentators. The skills of the workforce and what the workforce produces for aircraft are important, but the factory itself is an important part of the economy for the north of Ireland. I mean, Dunmurry. Bombardier has a plant in my own local government constituency in Dunmurry, so I have a vested interest on behalf of those workers to ensure that, you know, who it's going to be sold off to and what their commitment is to maintaining the factories and keeping the factory, making sure that it expands and it doesn't contract.